The gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Well, it's nice to be back at North Church with all you good folks. Been a while since I was here, and it's always good to come back and see that no one has aged a day. always good to see. Well, I want to start out this little meditation with a story about the County Highway Commissioner, not our county, but a different county. He was driving to the hospital for treatment on a painful knee injury, so he decided to take advantage of the valet parking that the hospital offered. So an excited young man came to the vehicle and said to the commissioner, "Is this a government vehicle?" "Why, yes," the commissioner replied. "In fact, it's an unmarked police car." "Well," the young man said, sliding behind the wheel, "this is the first time I've ever been in the front seat." Well, I tell that story because for all of us who are not Jews, this is the first time in the Advent and Christmas story that we have been in the front seat. This is the story of the gospel going to the Gentile world, and that's you and me. Magi were not Jews, as we know from just reading the gospel account that we just read. So Epiphany places its focus squarely on the Gentile world. With the coming of Epiphany, the 12 days of Christmas are complete. Right? The partridge in the pear tree, the ladies dancing, the drummers drumming, all that is done. And we have reached the end of the 12 days of Christmas. There is a time delay, is there not, between Christmas and Epiphany? And it's not 2 years, which is probably what had happened in the first century, but that 12-day delay just reminds us that the wise men were not at the Bethlehem stable. They didn't see Jesus in swaddling clothes. This was about 2 years later, and the text tells us that Mary and Jesus were in a house in Bethlehem. So when those foreigners arrived, Jesus was somewhere around 2 years old. These were obviously important people. Their dress and their appearance revealed their status to all who saw them. They were not Jews. They were not even part of the Roman Empire. by bringing them into the infancy narratives, Matthew is proclaiming that God is doing a new thing. While all the other characters in the birth narratives are Jews, in the Magi, the Gentiles are now included as recipients of God's lavish grace. You and I are now part of the story of salvation. And for that, we are thankful. It is, if the covenant with Israel was a blessing from God, this is God's second blessing. I love that verse in Psalm 72, which is the psalm for today. It says, He will be like rain falling on a mown field, a field that's already been mowed. That indicates the harvest has already taken place. The first blessing has been gathered in. But now the rain falling on the mown field means a second blessing is on the way. A second cutting, if you will. I grew up on a farm, and I can tell you that the second cutting of hay is always a lot sweeter than the first. And the cattle really love to get into that second cutting. And one has to be careful that they don't eat too much of it, or things that are not so good begin to happen. A second blessing is on the way. That's what this verse tells us. Rain falling on a mown field. And Jesus was the rain falling on the mown field. And Matthew lets us know that this blessing is even sweeter than the first because it now encompasses the whole world. Matthew tells us that the wise men were alerted to the royal birth by a star in the night sky. Now, the stars are up there 24 hours a day. I mean, we can't see them. It's a little too bright. But when darkness descends, that's when we can see the light of the star. Only when darkness descends do we see the light of the star. So Isaiah the prophet said in the verses that were read earlier in the service, "See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." So when things look darkest to you, that's the time to really begin to look for the star. God's announcement to the stargazing magi in their own language of the stars tells us something very important. It tells us that God speaks all languages and that God is calling all people to himself. John 3:16, that most familiar of all Bible verses, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This second blessing is for the whole world. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 calls this a mystery from God that is now revealed. And this mystery is that the Gentiles are now included along with the Jews in God's invitation to become children of God. So Matthew opens the gospel with a global bit of good news. And he closes his gospel. The other bookend at the end of the gospel is the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all people." So Matthew's gospel is an all-inclusive gospel. God speaks all languages. God calls all people to himself. Isaiah tells us what to do. When that happens, arise and shine, for your light has come. That imperative is now for all people, Jew and Gentile alike. Our gospel text tells us that those who are wise hear God's call and follow, even with persistence. The Magi first went to Jerusalem, the capital city. All foreign travelers had to report into the capital of whatever country they were traveling in so that they could get permission to travel in that country. So the Magi tell King Herod their mission, They have come to worship the newly born king of the Jews. This caused Herod to be greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. These were not just any travelers. Tom Fitzenmeyer, who is the dean of the Hamilton campus of Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, tells us that the Magi were among the cultural elites of the kingdom of Parthia, which lay to the east of the Roman Empire, comprising today portions of Iraq and Iran. Indeed, the Romans were never able to defeat the Parthian Empire, which menaced its eastern boundary continuously. So, the Magi were Zoroastrians from the priestly caste. They believed in one God. They believed in good and evil. They believed that in the end, evil would be defeated by good, and a Savior would come. Herod himself had already fled for his life during an earlier Parthian invasion of Palestine, being forced to retreat to Rome in the year 40 to 37 BC, until the Romans could push the Parthians back out of Herod's borderline kingdom. Now they come again, seeking the newborn king of the Jews. Is it any wonder that Herod was greatly troubled? I think not. And all Jerusalem with him. In Herod's distress, he turns to the church. Not much has changed, has it? Herod's distress, he turns to the church. The troubled Herod asks the religious leaders where the baby was to be born, and they recite the prophecy of Micah. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. With this news, the wise men continue their journey, and the star they had first seen in the east went ahead of them to Bethlehem and came to rest over the house where Jesus and his mother were. And upon seeing them, the Magi bowed down and worshiped the child. Immediately, that's the first thing they did, their first act, before they presented him with their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Their first act was worship. That shows just how wise these men were. Too often we think that we have to do something to get into God's good graces before we come to worship. But the story here tells us that worship comes first, and then our gifts follow our worship. They presented him with gifts of gold, that would be a gift for a king, with incense, that would be a gift for a priest, and with myrrh, that would be a gift for a prophet king. Nations will come to your light, the prophet said, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Matthew tells us that after the wise men worshipped and presented him with gifts, they did not return to Herod as had been stipulated. Instead, God had warned them in a dream, so they went home by another route. You see, the wise men were open to God's leading in more than one way, not only the star, but now a dream. So God sends them back home by another route. So let's ask ourselves, how many ways do we listen for God's leading in our daily lives? Do we have a single narrow channel, or are we open to God's leading in many different ways, as were the wise men? Are we persistent in following God's call, as those wise men were? So be in communion with God and follow the sound of God's voice, no matter what the language God speaks. He uses whatever language he can to reach you. Amen.